Great. Well, it's lovely to be with you this morning. With the snow in my background, I don't know if you can see outside where you are, but quite a lot of snow. I hope you'll all be building snowmen later on today. My name's Sam. I'm one of the pastors at Grace Church, if you don't know me, and it's great to be with you today. Now, before our reading and we get into the passage, I'm going to start with a question this week. So you might want to pen and paper or something. If there's a few of you watching, then maybe discuss it and just have a little chat. You're going to have 30 seconds and a minute to talk about it. The question is, why do you associate yourself with church? Why do you associate yourself with church? Or if you're not a regular with us at Grace Church, but you're joining us online, then you're very welcome. Why do you then associate yourself with your church? Or if you actually don't associate yourself with the church until perhaps joining some of these online ones, why don't you associate yourself with church? What is your motivation, the reason for being part of a church or not? So I want you to be honest. I'm not going to ask anyone to tell me the answers, partly because you're not here to tell me, but feel free to just keep it to yourself, but be honest. Say your honest reasons why you associate yourself with a church. Discuss it as your in families or whoever you're with at the moment. Okay, 30 seconds. I'm gonna twiddle my thumb. I might even walk off screen so it's not awkward with me just looking at you. 30 seconds to think about that question before we have our reading. Why do you associate yourself with church? I should prepare more sermons like this, give you 10 minutes to talk about this and that. 20 minutes will be gone. I hope you've put some thoughts down on paper or got them in your head. It'll help us as we go through this passage. The reading now is from Acts chapter 2. I've got verse 42 to 47, but I think actually I changed it to 38 to 47. So it's Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 47. And Julie Herring is going to read that for us.
The reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 47. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Right. Now, I let me pray before we begin. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage that speaks of the first ever Christian church beginning in history after the death and resurrection of your son, the Lord Jesus. We pray now as we think about what church is today and how we ought to interact with it. We pray that you would speak to us by your spirit. We pray that we would be humbled by your great power and sovereignty. And we pray we'd be encouraged by the love you have for us in forgiveness that you offer through Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I asked you to think about your reasons or motivations for associating yourself with church. Now, church is a tricky word because we tend to use it to describe what we do in a kind of organized sense as a church in Worcester Park, for example. So I am going to go to church. What are you doing? Or what are you learning at church, we might say. What is the church doing about X, Y, or Z? Where does the church stand on this issue or that? So when we ask what is church, we think it. We sort of think of it as a place we go on Sunday. It's where Christians attend to learn about God or to encourage one another. It's really all about the events organized by the church or the things that it lays on. Now, that word, use of the word church isn't wrong. The book of Acts actually has many uses of the word church in that sense. But we just mustn't forget that that is not the whole meaning of church. It's not the whole meaning of church in the Bible. You see, for a local church to do or to act or to respond or to decide upon anything, it first has to exist. It has to be, if you like. And a church can only exist or be when people understand that they belong to it. And it's that belonging, that existing as a church, that results in action as a church. So our sort of first point, if you like, today is that we belong to the church. We belong to the church. Have a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38 again. Acts 2, 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." As this first ever church began to establish itself after the death and resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago, there is a sequence of steps that happens that cause a belonging to the church. Individuals hear the gospel. We actually looked at it a few weeks ago, that passage where Peter does that great sermon on the gospel of Christ. Repent in faith and be baptized to signify their, that's what they do, sorry, in response to the gospel, to signify their acceptance of God's grace towards them through Jesus. And it's all for the forgiveness of sins to the people so that they are then indwelt, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's all there in that one very compact verse. So they receive something, the Holy Spirit, which makes them a belonger to the church. You can't receive the Holy Spirit and not belong. It's part of the same thing. So we're under the head of Jesus, and each of us, all of us, form the body of believers, as Paul the Apostle describes in other passages. Verse 41, have a look down to that, makes this belonging sense even clearer. Verse 41, Acts chapter 2. Those who accepted this his message were baptized, as we've said, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now 3,000 is a pretty good day's work by anyone, any preacher's standard. I would be reasonably happy with that kind of response to my sermon. But what we're observing here is the sense that church is something we belong to. 3,000 people were added to their number. You belong to the number when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you believe, when you confess your sins, you repent. You see, the first church was defined by belonging to a people group who repented and were baptized and now lived by the Spirit. That's how it's defined here. Those 3,000 didn't need to attend anything. They didn't need so that they'd be part of the church. They simply were the church. That is what the church was. By definition of their new belief, they were the church. This is perhaps, hopefully, where our kind of ministry scheme diagram, the River of Dreams, as it's affectionately been known, comes in handy. I think it's going to pop up on the screen. See, until we've repented and believed in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we're sort of to the left of the cross there. We don't, in a sense, belong to the church, or at least certainly not to the number of believers that we've just read about in Acts. We still exist in a state before repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as achieved by Jesus on the cross. Thanks, Tim. If you don't believe, then you absolutely should still come to church. You should enjoy the doing side of church, the active side of church in the local sense. We love people to do that. We want people to do that. That's what the church is here for in the active doing sense. But you cannot believe, as Tim was talking about and we said in the creed, you cannot belong to the universal church unless you've repented, believed in Jesus in his death and resurrection, as signified in baptism, which is why it's so key in this passage, for the forgiveness of sins, at which point we receive the Holy Spirit and become the church. We're not embarrassed to say that unless you're a believer, you still need to be evangelized, to hear and respond to the gospel, as it were. Because the only way to avoid God's right judgment on us is through the cross of Jesus. We'd hardly be showing you or anyone love if we were content to ignore the judgment we still face without urging you to receive the grace and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus in the gospel. And incidentally, that's why baptism is so important for believers to experience it. It's that big signal, sign for us that we've passed from one side of the cross to the other. We've died with Christ. He died on the cross to take our sins, signified by going into the water. And we've risen to new life, as Christ did, to defeat death and forgive us. We've risen again by his Spirit, just like he rose from the cross. Now, if you haven't been baptized, do get in touch with us. We've started a short list for people. So once we're out of lockdown, we can baptize again. So back to our opening question. Why do you associate yourself with church? Well, part of our answer for believers ought to simply be that we belong to the church. We belong to Jesus. We belong to each other. We are the church. By extension, we're part of those 3,000 that were added to their number back in Acts. See, if we don't define ourselves as people who belong together as a number, then there'd be no church to associate with anyway. In fact, we cannot really define ourselves as Christians and not belong to that number. By definition, a Christian is someone who belongs to the church. What else would we be? To who or what else would we belong? If not to church, then verse 40 says that the only other option is that we belong to this corrupt generation, to this world around us. See, everyone looks for belonging. And sadly, even Christians, we keep looking for belonging, even outside of the church, perhaps in a sports club or a fan club, in work or in community, in our peer group at school. I mean, you only need to spend 5 minutes on Instagram or Facebook, or Insta gratification and Fastbook, as I like to call them, to see a world of people, including many of us here, looking for acceptance and belonging and praise or credit from others, from this generation, this corrupt generation, as the Bible would say. So teenagers particularly, but also many of us adults, after church today, we can go through our social media accounts and remove all those posy photos or stories we've put up to say, look at me, I'm cool. Please think I'm great. Accept me. I want to belong. Because we belong exclusively to the church, to Jesus, the head, and to each other in the church. We ought to avoid this corrupt generation and the lies of this world. We do not belong to it anymore. We need to find no comfort and no rest and no belonging in the world, for we belong to the church of Jesus. We belong to the church. The Holy Spirit does not share his home in our hearts with 236 Facebook flatmates, our manager from work, and a football club fan club. We exclusively belong to the church, and the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts alone. The reason many of us may struggle to attend or to tune in, as it were, at the moment, or to ensure that our families join in with the doing side of church, is that we kind of think of church as an event organising outfit that we can dip in and out of when it ticks our boxes. But actually, church is where we belong. We belong to each other. And the events that we organise as a church are not to entertain, but opportunities to express and grow our belonging to Christ and each other, our belonging to the church. And this is getting to the point, the role of the established ministry at Grace Church, to help us grow in our belonging to Jesus and each other as the church. And it's from this point of understanding that we belong to the church, and the church only exists because we are the church, that we reach the kind of doing aspects of church. So we belong to the church. Back to Acts 2,000 years ago and those 3,000 strong number in Acts. What is it that they then did as church in response to their belonging? We'll have a look at verse 42. Verse 42 in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We summarise that verse, if you like, here at Grace Church in our established ministry, as establishing the committed, the belongers, in word and fellowship. Establishing the committed, the belongers, in word and fellowship. Belonging to the church, to Jesus, having the Holy Spirit, results in a devotion to God's word, the Bible, and fellowship with one another. So we're going to look at those two things briefly. Devoted to God's word and devoted to fellowship. Devoted to God's word. The phrase devoted to the apostles' teaching here, just in verse 42, doesn't mean they just threw out the Old Testament. We're just going to listen to these chaps right in front of us. Far from it. The apostles did little else, if you read the New Testament, other than teach the Old Testament. They showed how all of the Old Testament pointed to and was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. And so it was obvious to those 3,000 new belongers that to hear the gospel, this good news that the apostles had led them to in salvation, that they would want to learn more from those same teachers, from those giving them the truth about salvation. It's sad that it's not so obvious today often that we ought to devote ourselves to God's word. For it's God's word that we first found the truth of salvation in the first place. And yet we'll make more effort to play sports, watch our favourite Netflix show, read a novel, than we will to prioritise God's word in our own lives as a fellowship sometimes. We do the same for our children. We accept their complaints or their moans that, you know, youth group's not for them, or church is too hard to understand, or I can't sit still long enough to blah blah blah. Church services, youth groups, Sunday school, they aren't meant to be fun. They're meant to be the place we devote ourselves to God's word. And we must instill that same principle in our children, for it is where our life belongs. We belong to the church, and so we devote ourselves to his word. Of course, we can, and we do try to make all of these things as accessible and as fun, if you like, as we can. There's no reason not to. But our motivation to gather and attend and to learn from God's word is not to be based on what we like or don't like, but on what we need and on who we are. We are to devote ourselves to God's word as a church. But maybe a bit like a Labrador who's devoted to his owner, whether the owner is playing fetch with him or rebuking him or seemingly having no time for him. The Labrador is just sat at his feet devoted with its tongue out. We don't need to do that bit. It's not about what we like. It's about who we are and what we need. Just like the Labrador knows nothing else in his life apart from its owner who he's devoted to. So we should know nothing else in life other than the Lord Jesus and his teaching and his word that we are devoted to. We are the church. And so we devote ourselves to the word of God at the cost of all else. Which brings us to our second result, if you like, of belonging to the church, devoted in fellowship. Let us not think that we can do faith alone is the big message of this passage as well. To lay aside the corporate learning of God's word and the love and the accountability of that family, that church, as if we don't need it would be foolish. Many of us will know how hard it has been in lockdown for our faith not to have that accountability of gathering each week, or being seen, or being asked after, or being included so much. You see, those 3,000 early believers did not receive the Holy Spirit and say, great, thanks very much, that's all I need, just me and God from now on, some kind of special personalized revelation plan between me and him, we'll get along just fine. No, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, as we've already said, who taught the full and true word of God, and to fellowship, to each other. The only people in our passage with some kind of special personalized revelation plan was the apostles, perhaps. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. But they were a very unique bunch of men who gathered, followed the Lord Jesus, and were put in place by God to teach the first church and the church moving forward to be together in fellowship under the word. At the sight of the miracle-working apostles who teach the truth with authority, what else could these new believers do? Elevate their own knowledge, return to worldly wisdom, seek their own special way forward with God? No chance. They devoted themselves to the one certainty before them, the Bible-teaching apostles and the family fellowship to which they now belonged. The people in Acts heard the message that they had rejected God in their lives, which we call sin, that they were responsible for the death of Jesus, God's son, whether they were physically there or not, because of their sin, who came in love to save them, and 3,000 who believed, repented, were baptized, received the Holy Spirit, and joined their number. To be a Christian is to be part of the number, the church. Their natural response is devoting themselves to the word of God, as we've said, and fellowship just seems obvious and unavoidable. Anyone who claimed repentance in Jesus but then failed to devote themselves to his teaching and the rest of the believers in love would surely be considered a fraud at the time. Well, they said they repented and believed, and but they don't seem to come and join us as we learn together. Churches not church without fellowship. If you're not there, you're not there. We've already discussed that a Christian by default belongs to the church. So again, fellowship is not just whether we feel loved or we're feeling like we're cared for, or we feel like we want to make the effort with others. And if we don't get it our way, then, or the way we expected it, well, then we'll just leave. No, fellowship is again about belonging. We are a family and we belong to each other, whatever happens. Verse 44 couldn't put it more simply. All the believers were together and had everything in common. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And those two elements, together and everything in common, are explained in the next couple of verses. Verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. That seems to be the everything in common bit, doesn't it? And that's why our hardship fund is so encouraging. It's a way that in our culture enables us to practically support those in financial need. But it doesn't replace our need to still look out for each other, to care for one another, to be sacrificially generous to one another in practical and financial ways. And then verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This seems to be the explanation of that together word, doesn't it? Again, our culture and certainly our present times with the pandemic don't really enable us to meet daily, to chat and to learn and to support, to share meals in our home as they did then. But surely we ought to prioritise the opportunities we do have at the moment, and especially when they return more freely. We have home groups that are far from fully attended. We have a monthly prayer meeting that is quiet. We're starting a new one on Wednesdays. Can you be there at lunchtime to fellowship and pray with your people, the church? families or parts of families are perhaps missing from some of our live streams or in-person meetings. Children's and youth groups are not always well attended. It seems unlikely that our children will be devoted to Word and Fellowship as they grow up into adults if we don't insist on it and speak of it, of its benefits, while they're younger. You see, for belongers and teenagers, you can be asking this as well. We should be asking where we belong. If we're not in fellowship as often as we can, where do we belong? In Acts, the standard was every day, and some of us struggle to meet just once a week. There are, of course, really genuine and good reasons to miss some of these things, or reasons why it's not appropriate for us to be part of certain things. And that's completely understandable. That's not at all what we're thinking about now. But I wonder if the helpful thing for all of us to do is for us to remember to who and what we belong. We need to remember to who and what we belong, and then see whether there's aspects of church life we ought to be more committed to. So to summarise and to finish, we belong through God's Spirit to the church. We belong to the church. So we devote ourselves to God's word and to fellowship. Let's spend another 30 seconds or so, as Tim comes back in a minute, to think about why and how we're going to associate ourselves to the church from now on, following this passage from this day. How are we going to devote ourselves more to fellowship, to learning from God's word together this week? Let me pray, and then we'll have a short time while Tim prepares for the Lord's Supper. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we praise you for saving us. We thank you love us enough to give us your Son. Thank you that he died and rose again, and we can take part in that through baptism. Thank you that we can access forgiveness through repentance and belief. Thank you that we are the church. It's not a building, it's not an activity, it's simply us together. We are the church. And so may we prioritise all that we can to learn from your word together, to care for one another, to be together. Lord, we pray that you would help us when it's hard and it's difficult. We pray that you would encourage us and remind us that we belong to you. We belong to the church. And may we see that when we commit ourselves to your word and fellowship, we will be glorifying you and doing the best for us in this life and the best for our families in this life when we do the same and encourage them to do the same. May you remind us of that each day through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.